May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I pondered the readings set for this week that we've just heard, I felt as though I'd stepped onto the set of ABC's Q&A program. Each Monday night, Q&A brings us a panel discussion hosted by Tony Jones. Five prominent public figures discuss and debate issues of the day in response to questions from the audience. And so let's imagine for a moment that we are on the set of Q&A. On our right sits the psalmist, still reeling from the shock of the destruction of the temple and the chaos of exile. In his distress, he asks God to pour out God's wrath on all the nations that don't know God. On our left sits Paul, the implied author of 1 Timothy, who urges prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings to be made for everyone. That's right, everyone. Add to the mix Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and Jesus, a man who loves pictures and stories. And I'd say we have quite an entertaining and informative panel, wouldn't you agree? I'm taking the role of the host, a blonde Tony Jones, if you like. And as members of the live audience, I wonder what questions you would ask our illustrious panel. I consider the fact that many voices are represented in our scriptures to be a great gift. Our scriptures are polyphonic. Many voices are recorded, and there are many ways of interpreting the voices heard. If we sit and listen, we may be surprised, encouraged, and challenged by what we hear. One thing that all our panellists agree on today is that in the mystery of God, we participate in God's action in the world. This can occur in many ways. And in terms of today's focus, there are three specific ways that I'd like to talk about. Firstly, with Jeremiah, through our lamenting, our weeping, and our truth-telling, we engage in our suffering world. Secondly, with Paul and Timothy, in our prayer life. And thirdly, in working for justice and transformation in line with the vision of Jesus. The passage from Jeremiah chapter 8 is set within the turbulent time, either predicting or reacting to the people of Judah's history as they face oppression and capture from Babylon. There are a number of voices which can be heard in this passage. It may be the prophet Jeremiah, as he literally cries for the people, "My eyes are a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people." It may be the voice of God or the personification of the city of Jerusalem who laments what is happening to her. It may be an intermingling of the voices as the prophet's grief and the divine grief intermingle. The prophet considers their plight as part of the judgment of God for their faithlessness in flirting with foreign idols. Yet this passage shows the personal nature of his grief. "For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken over me." Part of our participation in a hurting and suffering world, in our global context, in our local context, and in our own lives, is to lament the hurt and injustice we see. The biblical concept of lament, which we see here and in other places, such as the Book of Lamentations and in the Psalms, names here and now what is wrong. Lament tells the truth. Lament makes a space for grief and anger to be expressed. It provides a necessary space to move from a disorientating experience which life throws at us to a place of reorientation. I wonder what has brought you to the place of lament this week. What image sticks with you? How can we as a faith community join with the voices in Jeremiah in saying to the people around us and to each other, I have heard your story. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. By participating in lament as we watch the news, as we hear our neighbours' stories, and as we take time out to just be, we are participating in the action of God in the world. The second aspect of participation in the activity of God is through prayer. Our panellist Paul has much to say about prayer, and this passage in 1 Timothy has a grand vision. Prayers of thanksgiving and intercession are to be made for everyone. And in a place like Canberra, we are especially aware of Paul's injunction to pray for those in high positions so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. And now for the guest you've all been waiting to hear from, Jesus Christ himself. He is a man that requires no further introduction, and yet he has chosen a rather puzzling and perplexing parable to share with us today. Parables are stories which challenge the status quo. They often lull us into thinking we know what is going on and then provide a twist, a surprise ending where reality is viewed in a new way. Today, Jesus brings us a parable. It is a word about relationships and not straightforward financial advice that we are called to imitate. This parable is notoriously difficult to interpret, largely because it appears as though Jesus is commending dishonesty. There are a number of creative ways that this parable can be interpreted. For example, the manager can be seen as a broker between the rich man and his clients. As a broker, he redistributes wealth within his immediate context. Not only does he win some friends, he acts like something of a Robin Hood, taking from the rich and giving to the poor. I wonder what sort of boss the rich man made. How much interest did he charge his debtors? We are not told. Perhaps the manager is simply taking part in the salary previously denied to him. This is rather speculative, but not unheard of in a world of rich and poor. I am reminded of the story of the Gurindji walk-off from Wavehill Station in 1966, which started the land rights movement in Australia. The issues of land, wages, and the distribution of wealth came to the forefront of the national conversation as the strike went on. And this is a conversation that is still relevant today, here, and in many places around the world where inequality exists. Or perhaps Jesus is speaking ironically when he talks about the manager being welcomed into the eternal homes. The phrase eternal home uses the Greek word tents, and a tent has a sense of impermanence. The manager thought that he had it all worked out, but the permanency of his arrangements are more transitory than he had anticipated. There are many perspectives and possibilities. In line with our earlier theme about participating in the action of God in the world, there is a call here to be faithful to the vision of Jesus, where money and possessions are kept in perspective and are redistributed so that everyone is included and has a place at the table. Our offerings of time, money, and expertise matter in the economy of God, and are a response to the abundance of love found in God in Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have time for this week. You've been a great studio audience. May you be blessed as you participate in the action and life of God wherever you are. As Francis Mackay says on page 3 of the bulletin, sometimes all we can do is bear witness, weep, and not close our hearts. This is our prayer. Through lament, prayer, and a commitment to sharing the gifts that God has given us, we participate in the ongoing work of God. I hope you'll join me back here next week, same time, same place, with your questions ready.